The Home Depot Home Improvement Show, brought to you in part by DryPro.
A Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. Answering your home improvement questions every Saturday on WPT. Presented by Charlotte Comfort Systems Heating and Air Conditioning and Acosta Heating, Cooling, and Electrical on News Talk 1110 and 99.3 WPT.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. I'm John Gordon.
I'm Dave Doval.
I'm C. Acosta with Acosta Heating, Cooling, and Electrical.
And I'm Scott Shelton with Charlotte Comfort Systems.
And it's HVAC week. Welcome, gentlemen. Always glad to have you guys on the air. Hope you're doing well.
Doing great.
Awesome. Wonderful. Zeke, how was the Super Bowl?
It was fun.
Those are amazing parties.
Yes.
Did your team win?
I didn't really.
Didn't care.
Have one, you know, in mind. Although I am glad Kansas City won. Everybody was cool. Saying that the Eagles are going to beat them and all, but I was glad to see Mahomes pull it out.
There you go. It was good. I didn't stay up the whole time. I had to be up at like 3:45 the next morning, so I crashed about halftime. But
you always have to be up at 4 o'clock in the morning.
I have a thing on the Monday mornings at church we do, so it's early. But it's good. It's very good. Let's see. Well, we're going to talk HVAC. I talk whatever is important to you guys. Callers, listeners, it's really what's most important to y'all. We're at 704-570-1110, 704-570-1110. Give us a call. Zeke and Scott, I have like maybe a dozen, not quite a dozen things written down, but coming out of the blocks, is there stuff that you want to make sure we hit on in these next 2 hours?
Maybe the new tax credits that are becoming available through the Build Back Better plan.
I will add that to the list. Tax credits. It'd probably be good to get an update on refrigerant and what's coming out. I mean, we're in full bore into 2023. I know there were some changes that we talked about back in December. Might not hurt to revisit some of those things. And then I've got questions or things that that have come up that I had made notes on, so we can take a peek at that. What makes sense for y'all? David, I don't know that we have any emails that are like specific to HVAC, do we?
We do not.
We just kind of pass those on as they come. Well, here's some things that I jotted down, and then you can give me thumbs up or thumbs down. I won't be able to see it, but you could do it anyway. Supply chain. Maybe we get an update on supply chain, whether there's, you know, still issues of supply for certain kinds of product. Anything new from the EPA or an update of what went into effect first of the year regarding SEER, so people know what they should be looking at when they're replacing units. I thought it'd be good to hear from you guys. There's some basic units, and then there's all kinds of bells and whistles you can add on to systems and so on. And I wanted to hear from y'all. I thought it would be interesting to know what you guys think are the one or two, or maybe there's three, I don't know how many upgrades that you would recommend. Say, hey, I don't know if this is worth it, you know, given the scenario, but I would almost always recommend this particular upgrade. I got a couple questions where people had stuff. It would be good to know, one of the questions was when and why choose a mini split. And then just, I don't know, there's a bunch of just little tchotchke questions that had come up. That sound like stuff that would be good to chat about?
It does.
So what up the supply chain? Are we through the mess, or are there still long waits or components missing? How does that look?
I wish you could say, here's what's short. It's just... like parts, if your existing unit has a failure and you need a part, it may or may not be available. And I mean, we've had customers in some cases recently waiting six to eight weeks.
Yeah.
Obviously they're not without heat or air conditioning for 6 or 8 weeks. Oh, what do you do? Yeah. How do you make that work?
Portable units. I mean, but most houses have multiple systems, and they just learn to, you know, change their habits if it's cold or hot outside.
Wow. Wow, 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 wow. It's getting crazy.
I think it's getting better, but, I mean, it used to be almost every part we wanted was short. Now it's just hit or miss. But it's done a better job of teaching us to not set the expectation that, hey, we can just run right over here and pick it up and be right back and take care of it for you.
Like when we were able to run a really good business.
When the world ran smoothly, you know, it's been 3 years since I've sat in the studio.
All right, so here's a crazy question. 3 years. Wow. Here's a crazy question. When you're thinking about designing a system or putting a new system in, should there be considerations you make that say, hey, if there's a problem, this is designed so that one system can be fairly functional, or I can get into, you know, heat or cool carriers? Is that a crazy question, or is that something you should think about now?
Just a wood stove, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. A little lube for the hinges.
Yeah, I had some Duraflame logs I'd leave for you, but you don't have a fireplace in your house.
Get some of them. Oh my gosh! All right, let's don't make fun of that. That's not even funny. All right. Well, we're right up against the break. We can talk more supply chain stuff if that's appropriate. We get back, but there's a lot of other things we want to hear from y'all, listeners. 704-570-1110. 704-570-1110. That's the number. Give us a call. We're getting ready to sneak away for a break, but we've got the HVAC experts in the house. So take advantage of it, and get it directly from the source. What's going on with the particular challenges you might have. So grab your cup of coffee, grab your questions. Don't go away, because the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave is going to be back after these important messages. Welcome back. This is the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. I'm John Gordon.
I'm Dave Dovell.
I'm Scott Shelton with Charlotte Comfort Systems Heating and Air Conditioning.
And I'm Zeke Acosta with Acosta Heating, Cooling, and Electrical.
Thanks for being with us, guys. We're talking HVAC folks, 704-570-1110, 704-570-1110. Give us a call. We'll talk about what's important to you. We talked about supply chain. What about like SEER ratings and like new, whatever's new from the EPA or governing bodies as far as like specs? Any? Or maybe what is the latest, even if it's not new, that might be the better way to ask that question.
Okay, so we all know what a SEER is, right? Seasonal Energy Efficiency Ratio.
And it tells you how energy efficient the unit is when it's cooling, right?
Yeah, well, what the new number is going to do is SEER 2, they want a number that says what the efficiency of the equipment is on a year-round basis.
Got
instead
it.
Of just a – it's a little convoluted, but if you're – current unit is a 16 SEER. On SEER 2, it's probably 15.5, 15.25.
Okay.
I think what they're trying to do is a lot of the manufacturers use AI-based ratings instead of, you know, real world.
Yep.
This may just make the conditions under which that rating is created you know, a little harder to accomplish a higher SEER rating.
Got it. We got a couple calls out here. Let's jump on Art, or jump on Art's call. Hey, Art, how are you this morning? Welcome to Home Depot Home Improvement Show. How are you?
Good morning.
How can we help?
I have my HVAC system, and I have two rooms in the house that are getting no air at all. They worked earlier in the spring, but now they're not doing anything. Is there a flapper valve in there that's not opening?
It could be. How old is the house?
13 years old.
Is the HVAC unit in the crawl space or in the attic?
It is in the laundry room.
Huh. Do you have it serviced every year?
Yes.
I would have the guys that do the service look to see, because in the air conditioning mode, it's moving a lot more air because cold air is heavier. It takes more force to push it. In the heating mode, especially if you have gas heat, the air moves a lot slower because it's warm air, it's lighter, it's easier to move. So you just may not feel the airflow nearly as much. Or you might have a damper closed. Or who knows?
Crush ductwork, it's hard to say, yeah.
Okay.
Are your registers in the ceiling or in the floor?
Just have the tech come out and take a look at it then?
No, I'm talking about the, where the air supply registers. Are they in the ceiling or the floor?
Where the air comes out.
The receiving? Oh, it comes out the ceiling.
So it's probably in between. Is it a two-story house?
Yes.
In this case. It's less likely to have a crushed ductwork in
and
that
if his unit's
area.
On the laundry room, the ductwork's probably in between the floors. So I doubt you have dampers, honestly, unless that room that has the equipment has a whole lot of ducts coming back to it from all over the house. Looks like an octopus. Or part of your coil could be blanked off. Some of the insulation could be blocked. I would have it serviced, and I'd just tell them what your issue is, and I'm sure they'll be able to track down where the source is. But it could be a lot of things.
Okay. Well, all right. Appreciate that.
All right.
Thanks.
All right, thanks, guys.
Thanks for the call, Art. Let's get William while we're here also. William, good morning. You're on the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. How are you?
Good morning. I have about a 30-year-old house. I have some moisture underneath the house. There's a downslope from back to front, and initially there was just water at the front of the house. It's not puddled, but it's just wet, you know, underneath there. So I have the vapor barrier underneath from years ago, but with all the rain that we've had, it's just gotten worse. And so I've had a couple estimates. I felt maybe just having some drainage lines and some a French drain or something put in would help take care of that. But then when I had a moisture control company come out, I've got some mold and fungus starting. And so I'm just wondering which way to, I know I have to have that taken care of, but there's some estimates on possibly encapsulation of the crawl space. And then, you know, the sump pump. And I'm just wondering, do I need to have I know I have to have some of that done, but as far as the drainage at the back of the house, there have some water that puddles up at the back of the house every time it rains. So just kind of want some direction.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so, you know, anytime there's water around the house on the outside, it can make its way inside. Just simple physics, wet goes to dry. So even if it's dry in the crawl space, it's wet outside, it's going to wick it in there. It's just what it does. And then, you know, if the vents being open, you know, it all exacerbates that problem. So sometimes a sealed crawl space is the only way to combat that. I mean, if you can't, they can do as much as you can do outside to keep the water from being close to the house. And then, you know, once you've exhausted that, then I think you start working on the inside of the crawl space. If they can't stop the water, then they do let it in, and they put a French drain on the interior, which all leads back into a sump pump. And then they just try to cover up the ground and try to control that moisture with the dehumidifier, which includes closing the vents off. So some companies won't do a partial sealing. They'll only it's going to be a complete with a heavy duty liner, or they don't do it at all. And other companies will do a partial with a 10 mil plastic, close up the vents. It just depends on how bad the problem is.
How long have you lived in the home?
About 28 years.
Well, you're probably one of the people that, like I was, if you think about it on the front end, you're like, man, God, that's expensive. I don't want to spend that money. And then after you get it done, you're gonna have an epiphany of like, God, I should have done this a long time ago. It's going to change your house so much that you're – breathing is going to improve. The things that you have gotten used to will go away. It's worth the money, and I mean, I'm surprised if it's been that way for so long that you haven't had some structural damage because of the moisture.
Yeah, I don't know that the moisture has been like that for a long time. I'm not sure why, or unless I've just not noticed it. I don't crawl under the house a lot, but
right.
But just recently with the rain, I've been underneath there, and I have a fan going right now, just, you know, day and night, just trying to keep some air flowing. But I was just wondering I didn't know about that encapsulation, if that's something that was good for the house or not.
And oh, yeah.
They gave me three different options. You know, one was encapsulation, and the other two were less, you know, all sump pumps involved with all of them. And
Did you have multiple contractors
if I needed to
quote it?
Have the landscaping done in the back, if that would even take care of it, because, yeah, the water is going to flow from wet to dry anyway.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, yeah. If you control the water on the outside, and most of the time you won't have problems on the inside, but that doesn't happen very often. And the other problem that we have is that a lot of times the grade underneath the house is lower than the grade outside of the house. So it's naturally going to, you know, if it's not bad enough that wet goes to dry, now you have a lower spot. So
gravity's working again.
Yeah.
And the dew point.
Yeah. Yeah. You have dew point too. I mean, all that starts coming into play. But anyway, I think you try to correct it outside as much as you can. But if the crawl space floor is below the outside dirt, then you're probably going to have a dehumidifier and some type of a liner installed.
That's what they've mentioned there. But the encapsulation is, like you had mentioned, that's okay to have done.
Oh, yeah.
I've had it on my last three houses, and it's worth it.
Sometimes a contractor will pay you after it's done to go in there.
Oh, that's just easier.
It's because it makes it so nice.
Yeah. Thank you very much. I really appreciate the advice.
Welcome. Thanks for the call, William.
Yes, thank you.
Great question. We still speculate, I think, that at some point in time, depending on your climate, that it's going to become code to encapsulate in some fashion. I think feels like that anyway.
Sure. Right? Yeah, I talked to a building inspector the other day. He told me that when he built his house, that he poured the floor, and he said he has a creeper that's dedicated to the crawl space.
Yeah.
And I said, I like the way you're thinking.
That's what my dad had in the crawl space up in Chicago. It was great going up there and, you know, getting stuff winterized and doing whatever you needed to do. You just zipped around on the creeper.
Sure, it's a lot easier to do it when you're building the house than it is afterwards.
It is. All right, folks, we've got some lines open. We're at 704-570-1110, 704-570-1110. We're about a minute away from a break. We were talking about the SEER rating and just knowing what the efficiency is, and Scott you were sharing that it's retooled just a little bit. I don't know how important it is for folks to know that what goes into it so much as that's going to be the standard and you need to buy according to it. I think, is that a fair assumption?
That's it. I mean, it's think about it. This past Christmas when we had the rolling brownouts. For the first time in Charlotte that I'm aware of.
Yep.
It's all in an effort to ease the strain on
the system,
network.
The grid.
Yeah.
All right, folks, we're going to take our break. 704-570-1110. Give us a call. We'll talk when we return to the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. Welcome back. This is the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. I'm John Gordon.
I'm Dave Doval.
I'm Zeke Acosta with Acosta Heating, Cooling, and Electrical.
And I'm Scott Shelton with Charlotte Comfort Systems Heating and Air Conditioning.
And before we jump over to Bobby, who dialed in, we're going to do our Home Depot product of the week. And this week it's getting ready for the springtime coming. It's a 40-volt brushless, 20-inch cordless, walk-behind, self-propelled lawnmower. That's a lot to say. 40-volt brushless, 20-inch cordless, walk-behind, self-propelled lawnmower. Let me tell you why I think it's cool. Number one, it's got a spot for two batteries. So if you have a really big yard, not a problem. It has seven cutting heights. It's got, it folds up so you can like store it against the wall. And it's brushless. And it's self-propelled. And it's electric. And it's green. And it's also the color green. But it's also part of the 40-volt Ryobi system, right? So it works the blower and the mower and all those things. So that's it. That's our Home Depot product of the week, the Ryobi 40-volt brushless 20-inch cordless walk-behind self-propelled lawnmower. That's hard to say. All right, let's say something easier like Bobby. Bobby, good morning. You're on the Home Depot Home Improvement Show. How are you this morning?
Good morning. I just wanted to add to the gentleman that had concerns about the moisture under his house. I live on top of a hill, and theoretically, I don't normally have problems with moisture. And I put moisture barrier under my house when I first built it, and I built my own house and subbed out the parts that I didn't do myself. So it was a lot of people working on the house, and I put a real good vapor barrier under the house after I got the house built. 25, 26 years later, I started having problems and really didn't know what the problem was coming from. And I noticed the atmosphere here has changed. Our summers are way more humid than they were, and I believe that was part of my problem. Long story short, I got a bunch of quotes. I was having moisture problems. I live on a hill, couldn't understand it. I couldn't really afford or didn't see me paying that much money, so I started studying what I needed to do everything but an encapsulation.
Mm-hmm.
And I bought the heaviest weather barrier I could buy, which was like 40 mil. I got under the house, and I did it myself. And within 2 months, my whole house was completely different.
Mm-hmm.
The floors felt better.
Sure.
The atmosphere in the house felt better. The mm-hmm. air conditioner ran shorter periods of time. So if I was him, I wouldn't contemplate whether he did it himself or he hired somebody to do it. He needs to do it.
Do it, yeah.
Did you put a dehumidifier under the house, Bobby?
I did put a dehumidifier under the house. And I left my vents open because I didn't totally encapsulate it, but I closed the vents during the transition period of having the new weather barrier under the house and
right.
giving it time to turn around.
Sure, try to get it dried and out, caught up.
Huh?
So you let it catch up. So you dried it out.
I let it catch up.
Right. Yep.
I knew it needed help, so I went and bought me a dehumidifier. I spent somewhere around $1,200 for it, put it in the worst part of my house and turned it on. And within a couple months, the whole house was different.
Mm-hmm.
I left the vents closed for another month or so, and it finally got to where the dehumidifier wasn't running.
Right.
Yeah, there you go.
Well, so, it's always been that way with temperature difference. So in the summer, when it's really hot, the crawl space is usually in the 60s or 70s. And when the hot air and the cold air clash, it's going to rain in there. It's just what it does. It's no different than a glass of ice water sitting on the counter. So I think you probably reached saturation and it just wouldn't dry out again is most likely what happened.
If your duct system is in the crawl space,
yep.
That's another
it's leaking,
moisture
right.
burden. So
lots of things, but good for you for getting that done, Bobby. I know that helps a lot of people when they hear that coming from another homeowner. So
yeah, I'm capable of doing it myself, and I did, and I'm glad I did because I learned and I appreciated what I did for myself, mm-hmm. and I saved a ton of money.
Yep. Well, yeah. Well, but you understand why they charge for what they do, too, now. So it's
That's
a lot
right.
of work.
So one thing I can say is there's a guy in Tennessee, I believe it was, called Crawl Space Ninja.
Mm-hmm.
I watched video after video after video to see what he did under houses, and it taught me what to do.
There you go.
All right, man.
I mean, it taught me everything.
Way to take the initiative, Bobby.
Bobby, thanks
yes,
for the call,
you
man.
You got to jump on it and take care of it.
Yes, sir.
Thanks, Bobby.
Appreciate it.
Thank you. Appreciate the call. He who hesitates is lost. Boom. Done. We're about a minute away from a break. What is this? There's like 4, 6, 10 thumbs up on encapsulation, or at least getting somebody out to take a look at it, right?
Well, yeah, and every house is different, so... But it's a good idea to close them up, and I think eventually, that's what we'll see. I mean, I think eventually it'll just be why leave it open.
Yeah,
you know, concrete it. Don't
we've got
no vents.
Moist red clay as soil here, so it's
right.
going to hold water. And if it's open to your crawl space, you're going to have some type of organic growth.
Yeah,
you know, it's just.
Yeah, you're right. Even I had a little bit before we were completely closed up. So. Just during construction.
What is it, MR86 or RM86?
Mm-hmm. That spray.
That stuff's amazing.
Mm-hmm.
All right, well.
All right. we're going to take a break, folks. It's the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. You can get us at 704-570-1110, 704-570-1110. This week we're talking HVAC, but actually we'll talk about any question you had. Clearly we've been down in the crawl space. We'll get up in the attic if you need us to. But grab a cup of coffee, get your questions ready, because the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave will be right back. Welcome back. This is the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. I'm John Gordon.
I'm Dave Doval.
I'm Scott Shelton with Charlotte Comfort Systems Heating and Air Conditioning.
And I am Zeke Acosta with Acosta Heating, Cooling, and Electrical.
And we are taking your calls at 704-570-1110, 704-570-1110. We want to talk about what's important to you, so we can do that. We spoke about the new SEER rating, SEER calculation. Are there other things from the EPA that have transpired effective 2023?
EPA? Well, not that I'm aware of. Or DOE? Okay.
Yeah, so there's 1,000 different organizations, right? So from the government or oversight bodies.
I know they're working on replacing R410A, but you know it's like anything else. We only hear about it when it's, you know, I guess when it impacts someone that we deal with, you know, on a daily basis, one of our major suppliers or vendors.
So when we spoke back in December. That came up, right? That there was that we were back on the trail of a new refrigerant.
We are,
and at the time, I think it was possible. As you guys said, it might be that each individual manufacturer could have their own type of refrigerant. Is that still the case?
I think they all say that. They said that last time, but I mean, essentially, I think someone will win out, or there may be, you know, a couple or a few. But it looks like propane is going to be the base of choice because they're trying to get away from anything that has fluorocarbons.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll see. But it sounds like the new refrigerant is going to be based in propane.
And which seems a little bit scary to me, but that's only because I'm ignorant.
Me too.
What about but there's nothing people need to be thinking about right now. There are no changes afoot. So if you're switching out units, you should ask to get a different refrigerant.
Well, it was originally said to be the first of this year. And what came out was they said, you know, they're going to delay it for a year. When we get closer to the end of this year, they'll either enforce it come, 2024, or they might push it back again. We don't know.
It's like they make these choices in Washington, and then the manufacturers have to make them realize that that's a great idea, but we can't shift and retool everything to meet these needs
right, in
your time frame. So we'll see. But, I mean, we might as well get resigned to the fact that R22, which is probably one of the best refrigerants we ever had, 22 and 12 are long gone, 410A, which – all I want to see is what the pressures are going to be. What's the internal operating pressures on a unit that's running on propane? If it's considerably lower than where we are now, I'm all for it.
Really? Why do you say that, Scott?
Because the current refrigerant works at about twice the internal operating pressure as our old refrigerant.
Okay.
And just think if your truck tire runs with 45 pounds of air pressure and then you replace it and the new tire has 90 in it. Well, it used to be you could run over an acorn and it was no problem. Now that acorn will pop your tire. I mean, it's the number of leaks that we have seen from R410A cooling heat pump systems has been enormous compared to what we had with the old refrigerant.
I got it. I understand. That makes sense. So we're hoping to get a lower pressure solution. And it feels like maybe if the propane is the one, that could be the case.
Hope so. What do you think, Zeke?
And
propane's read, plentiful.
All I heard and read was that the pressures were comparable. What does that mean? You know?
Sounds like they want to keep the pressures high to make the systems not last as long.
So if the pressure's high, I'm trying to remember whatever I remember from thermodynamics or whatever they call kind of how things
think,
work.
Think about the compression ratio on your car, right? What is it, about 10 to 1?
Yeah.
Well, make it 20 to 1. How long is that engine going to last?
Right.
Got it. You're blowing stuff out. I understand. All right, here we go. Well, the good news is that portion of the economy will remain strong. So let's talk real quick about just some questions that I had out there. One of them was that ice kept building up on the outside unit for a heat pump. What would that be?
It's working.
Yeah, it's supposed to, in a way. I mean, that's just the way it works. It's like you get ice on your, refrigerator when you had to,
back when you had to defrost.
Right. Now they, the air conditioning unit or the heat pumps have a defrost cycle in them, and they're supposed to get ice on. They do get ice on it. It goes through a defrost and gets rid of that, ice, and that's where you have. You know, a lot of people say, I got a water leak around the unit. It's not. It's just that the ice is melting, ice, yeah. And you get that around your air outdoor unit pad.
Yeah.
And I mean, if it's misty or rainy or snowy, what does a heat pump do? The outdoor unit makes itself so much colder than the outdoor temperature that it can extract heat from the air. So if there's any moisture in the air, it's going to freeze, and it kind of freaks out people who haven't had heat pumps in the past.
Right.
But and then what does it do? It converts back to an air conditioner to melt the ice, and then starts the process all over again.
So as long as it's not like building up, or you hear the fan dinging on it because it's built up and hasn't thawed, ice is a part of the cycle.
I mean, we've all known that if our outdoor unit froze up in the summertime, there's a problem.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's the indoor coil that freezes up the most, you know. So it's just changing where the load is going for a heat pump. But I saw this thing on the news last week where they were in Minnesota. It's like 5 degrees below zero, and this guy's house was nice and toasty with only the heat pump, no electric heat. The units are getting much, much better.
Wow.
And that's the benefit to heat pumps of the higher pressures, operating pressures that we have on our equipment now. If you look at a temperature and pressure chart, look at what does the higher pressure give you?
Higher temperature.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. I guess, well, good to know, I guess, good to know. The other question that was, that I think we've heard before was just about the black insulation on the charge lines, the line sets is like torn away. Somebody got close to it with the weed eater or whatever. That should be replaced, shouldn't it?
Should,
sure. That insulation on there keeps the little bit of refrigerant to come back and help cool the compressor down. So having that, if you don't have it cool enough, then you can, run down the life expectancy of the compressor by not getting enough coolant coming back to it to cool it.
So it's got to work harder, or is it possible that it just doesn't convert and you end up with liquid in the compressor?
If you have, right. But that's, too much liquid. That means that the metering device is, something's wrong with it, or your indoor fan is not running fast enough to get rid of all that liquid refrigerant.
Got it. It's not complicated, I guess, from a principal perspective, but it really is kind of complicated.
What is? I think last month, John, you weren't here, and we talked about that a little bit about protecting the outdoor units, and the best way is to put gravel around those units, with some type of landscape fabric, and then something to hold the gravel in. But keep so that way you never get close to that unit with a weed eater, because I see people do more damage than just to the insulation, hitting all the fins and closing them up, and it's bad. Plus, you don't want stuff growing all over it, right?
If you're weed eating right next to the unit, and that unit is running,
it's going to suck all that
grass, dirt,
loose grass back into the unit, so it gets dirtier quicker. So yes, having a river rock or some kind of gravel around the outdoor unit.
Yeah, if you like your HVAC guy, you use river rock.
If you don't like him, use
marble chips.
I was going to tell you better hang like a knee, like one of those weed knee things right next to the unit so the HVA guy can kneel down. So that's good advice people don't think about, David, is getting, weed cloth and something out there just to keep the stuff from growing up. The other problem is if you've got vegetation around there, that's a problem too, because it impedes airflow, right? What are we supposed to have around 3 feet around the unit all sides?
18 inches.
Depends, minimum of 18. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Look, we're going to come up against a break here, folks. Give us a call. We have some lines open. We'll talk about what's important to you. Otherwise, we'll just keep yammering on and on. But we're at 704-570-1110, 704-570-1110. You can also go to askjohnanddave.com and click on the questions button, or send us a note to questions@askjohnanddave.com. If you do that, include where you live, just city and state. We get emails from a lot of different places, and sometimes the answer does depend on geography. So get another cup of coffee, get your questions ready. We're going to take a long break here, and then we'll be back to answer your home improvement questions when we return to the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave.
The Home Depot Home Improvement Show, brought to you in part by DryPro.
The Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. Answering your home improvement questions every Saturday on WPT. Presented by Charlotte Comfort Systems Heating and Air Conditioning and Acosta Heating, Cooling, and Electrical on News Talk 1110 and 99.3 WPT.
Welcome back. This is the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. I'm John Gordon.
I'm Dave Doval.
I'm Seeker Acosta with Acosta Heating, Cooling, and Electrical.
And I'm Scott Shelton with Charlotte Comfort Systems.
And we are ready for your calls. We're at 704-570-1110, 704-570-1110. Give us a call. We'll talk about what's important to you. We're on the HVAC topic. We can go wherever we need to go, though. We've kind of hit on some of the little things, questions people had, and what's going on as far as different specs and system specs as different regulatory agencies have a look and try to work on creating additional efficiencies. The electric grid, I think, is feeling the stress, and we're trying to just do good things to keep from having to build, I guess, more plants.
Sorry, my cynicism is coming out.
Oh, nope. That's another show. That's somebody else's show. The question that I had, or question that was on a list of things that I was looking at, was with a heat pump, the auxiliary heat or emergency light keeps coming on. What would be the cause of that?
Well, the colder it gets outside, the less heat is in the air, so the heat pump could not produce enough heat to heat the house by itself. So if your temperature drops another degree with these digital thermostats, if 1 degree difference can bring on the auxiliary heat. So it just comes on and it'll just run long enough to heat it that 1 degree back up, and then the heat pump keeps running.
Kicks back in. Or it runs all along, I guess, and then the auxiliary elements just heat it up inside, right?
There's a lot of things, though. Some of the heat pumps, you can actually have a duck-mounted sensor, and it'll just bring those strips on and off quickly to maintain, a supply temperature. So it's not like it's and it could be duct leakage. It could be a lot of things that would cause it, but it's not always a bad thing. Are you comfortable, and is your power bill higher than it was, same month last year? Is what you really need to look at.
And so absent like a real cold snap, it's not the end of the world.
Right. And in some cases, you have where they, like I said, Gastonia, they ask for an outdoor thermostat. So even though your temperature in the house drops to where the blue light or the emergency heat light comes on, if the outdoor thermostat has the backup heat cut off, it might not be getting backup heat. You might just have that blue light on because it's, it could use it, but the outdoor thermostat might have the electric heat or the backup furnace.
The equipment now is getting so smart.
It's so complicated, yeah.
We actually, when we do the when we do the setup of the equipment initially when it's installed, we determine what temperature we want the airflow to be out of the indoor unit during defrost.
Right.
And the lower we set course, the colder your house is going to be, the maybe even the longer that defrost cycle is going to last. So there's so many different reasons, but I think the main thing is, are you comfortable and are your utility bills still within reason?
Right. Okay. So monitoring that, I think the advice you've given us all along is you try to dial up the heat just to get a little more comfortable, try to do it in like 1 or 2 degree increments popping 5 degrees in there, and then that thing just has to really, really kick in.
Almost every thermostat, if you bump it up 2 degrees, is going to bring on the resistance heat.
Okay. So, but you guys make that setting when you install it.
No, we can't. Can change that, but it's normally our recommendation is for heating. You find a temperature that you like, put it there, and forget about it.
Leave it alone, right?
And that will give you your most agreeable power bills.
Makes sense. All right, David. I'm sorry, did I cut you off?
No.
Oh, sorry. I thought
he's
I
was sighing.
Well, you've got good power bills, David.
I do. I mean, all the things these guys talked about, I was bragging on them last month about all the things that they've taught us through the years have made, you know, it made a difference. You know, I listened and I did it.
You have a dual fuel and your house is not uncomfortable at all, is it?
No. I mean, it's never uncomfortable. I mean, that unit's constantly running. At first, I thought it was broke because I walked by the air conditioning in the summer one day and it was just barely moving. I thought, oh, no, it's broke. But it was in dehumidify mode. So.
Right.
But, you know, I mean, the unit counts, but the insulation is and air sealing of the house is the other thing. I mean, you use all those things in combination. Mm-hmm. You pay on the front end a little bit more than you would for other equipment. But in the end, you reap the benefits forever. Yeah, it just keeps building. So we're thrilled. And you guys have both said this for years, is it's not just the cost, but it's your comfort. And that is something that we did not have at the last place we lived. It was, you were either one or the other. You were hot or you were cold all the time. Yeah. It's just the way it was.
You leave your fan on all the time so that you're continually recirculating the air?
Yeah, it's doing it on its own, yeah. So it's constantly, something's almost always running.
I want to spend a minute when we come back out of our break on indoor air quality, but that's almost just having that going on, David, probably improves the indoor air quality in the house because everything's getting filtered constantly, right?
I was so concerned about it that I have a couple of weather strip leaks at some doors, and I elected not to repair them. So we'll have some fresh air in the house. I know that's sad, but
no.
I was thinking, Gina wants it fixed because when the wind blows by it, it whistles.
He said the house was so tight when he moved in, she got mad and slammed the door, and he couldn't hear for a week.
He sneezed, and a window blew out. All right, we got to take a break. Folks, this is the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. We're at 704-570-1110, 704-570-1110. Give us a call, and we'll chat when we return to the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. Welcome back. This is the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. I'm John Gordon.
I'm Dave Doval.
Hi, I'm Scott Shelton with Charlotte Comfort Systems Heating and Air Conditioning.
And I am Zeke Acosta with Acosta Heating, Cooling, and Electrical.
And before we go over to Mike, we're going to do our Home Depot Product of the Week. It's like, I think it might be our longest title Product of the Week all year long, but it's an awesome one. It's the Ryobi 40-volt brushless 20-inch cordless walk-behind self-propelled lawnmower. Wow. It's actually a pretty great deal. It's in the Ryobi system, right? So the 40-volt system, so that battery runs the mower, runs the blower, runs all the different equipment, yard equipment devices. It all fits together. The mower itself has a place for two batteries. So if you have a super big yard, you don't have to charge in the middle of the recharge in the middle of the job. It's got seven different cutting heights, and it folds up very nicely into and just pushes up against the wall, so it doesn't just eat up a ton of space in the garage. The price point on it is, it includes a charger and battery, is just under $500. So if you think about what you're going to spend on gas and the positive impact for the environment, you know why we think it's a great deal. All right, let's get Mike, who has a question. Mike, good morning. You're on the Home Depot Home Improvement Show. How are you?
I'm good, guys. How are you guys?
Very fine. How can we help?
A quick question. I've got I just bought a house. It was built in 1960, so I've had to have all the wiring redone, electrical wiring.
I'm going through the same
thing.
The
panel, the electrical panel, was on the back wall between the dining room and the kitchen. And I have one bid that says, the electrical panel is fine where it's at as long as it's within, you know, you got 3 feet of space and you can open it, the panel up clearly, and it's not higher than 6 feet or
lower than 4 feet, something of that. But my question is this. The other bid came in and said, hey, you've got to put that, that can't be anywhere near the kitchen. And the panel's got to be on the outside. So I'm just, that's my question. According to code, where does that panel have to be?
Well, it might fall that if it was a new house, they would not allow it there. But since your house was built back in 1960, would get grandfathered in unless you move that panel or do something to it. Then you have to, you know.
Okay. So because we're having the whole house rewired and all the new wiring is coming in, that panel has to be moved to, it can't be near the kitchen then. Is that correct?
Well, I mean, it can be in the kitchen.
The lighting panel could be in the kitchen, right?
Right.
This is the actual circuit where all the
main the main panel?
Yes.
Yeah. I'm not familiar with that.
Yeah, I'm not either. I'd have to look up in the code book and see. I'm not aware of that it has to be outside of the kitchen.
Okay.
It could be the case, but
are they just wanting to put everything on the exterior of the house, where it, like right next to the electric meter or the?
Yes, exactly.
And yeah. You know, conventional wisdom says, "Man, I don't want somebody to be able to come up to my house from the outside and turn all my breakers on."
Yeah,
right.
Yeah. You get a locking version, but still could be broken into, I guess.
Yeah.
So, according to code, does that electrical circuit box have to be moved outside, or can it remain where it's at?
Well, you know what? If I were you, you can Google Mecklenburg County Posse, POSSE. And then there's a inspector lookup where you can put in your address and it'll tell you all the inspectors that serve your area. Call the inspector himself. That's probably the...
Yeah, because, you know, the inspector comes out there, he's the one that's going to make that decision whether it has to be moved or not.
Okay, all right, appreciate it. Inspector Mecklenburg County, then just put in...
POSSE.
Okay. I appreciate the help. Thank you, guys.
Oh, you're very welcome. Good luck.
Appreciate the call, Mike.
All right, thanks.
704-570-1110, 704-570-1110. We've got some lines open. We were talking about indoor air quality right before we shot off to the break. And, David, you have a good scenario in that the system you have has so many different, like, I don't know, ranges or capacities that the fan can be running almost constantly, and so you get air filtration happening. What about as people think about, you know, new systems? Zeke, Scott, what's like? Is there one or two air quality things that you would say, hey, just it doesn't make sense not to do this?
Whole house filter.
The whole house filter.
Yeah,
that's like on every system, almost every system.
Yeah.
And that's the big one that goes next to the...
That's the 4 or 5 inch media filter.
Okay. And then if you're not replacing a system, that's not hard to add, is it?
It's not as easy. Not as easy as we'd like for it to be, that's for sure.
Tell me what you're saying, what you're thinking.
Well, I mean, it depends on if it's upflow or if it's horizontal. If it's a larger tonnage, you have to put one on each side. I mean, it's just... It's a whole lot easier to do it when the equipment is swapped. And if in the interim, I would say you can buy these FC filters from Honeywell that go into the return grill that are 4 inches thick, but they act as if they're a 1 inch filter.
Huh.
And you just replace them every 6 months.
How does that work?
It's got a 1 inch lip, but it recesses 3 inches deeper into the ductwork.
So I wonder if you get a better seal around that filter with that. I would think that you would.
When we have customers that, sometimes you just can't add an air cleaner. It's too restrictive in size, or there's just no way to make it work. So we use those FC filters from Honeywell, and they work great.
Got it. I hadn't even thought about that. All right. So indoor air quality. What about the cold plasma technology that was popular, or that was kind of
works
the
great.
Rage.
I've got it in my house. You got one in your house, don't you, Zeke?
Yep, sure.
They work amazing, but I think just the you know, COVID created kind of a stir where people, you know, it was more conscious, and We still sell them, and we still offer them. It's just less people that are buying them.
You know? So it's because it's not the big concern that everybody had when COVID was raging.
Well, thank goodness COVID's about over. And, you know, if you have somebody in the house with allergies, asthma, respiratory illnesses, it's a great product.
Okay. And I think, as I recall, it was effective against the coronavirus on contact, right?
It was. It would actually kill it if it were on your countertop.
Right. You know, so in the air and on surfaces.
Right.
Nice.
Wow. All right. One of the things that you brought up, I'm trying to watch the clock here also. One of the things you brought up way at the top of the show, Scott, was just some of the new tax credits that are out there. We got a couple minutes. Can you give us a rundown on that?
Yeah, talk to your accountant. I hate to say it.
Complicated.
It is so complicated, but it's basically based off of the median income here in Charlotte, if this is where you live, and it's, I think it's like $46,000, $47,000. If you make, you know, combined gross family income around that median number or less, the tax advantages are amazing. And if you make up to 150% of the median income, it's still relatively attractive to take these subsidies, which are tax credits, towards a new heat pump.
So
once your family income hits 100 or 120,000 combined, they pretty much go away.
Okay. So it is a function of what your income is.
Yeah. It is. But there's still the other tax credits that have been reinstated that, you know, which are the high efficiency. Right now there's possibility of three different federal tax credits or rebates for putting in a new HVAC system.
And so it's something you're saying, hey, you just got to ask. You're going to have to check it out.
We screen with the customer, but we don't want to ask those personal questions, you know.
That makes sense.
We give them all the documentation that they'll need, and then they can give it to their accountant or tax preparer and take advantage of it.
Okay, that makes sense. All right, we're going to come up against a break here. We'll go ahead and take it, folks. This is the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. You can give us a call. We're at 704-570-1110, 704-570-1110. Or you can go to askjohnanddave.com. Click on the questions button and send us a note that way. We'll talk some more home improvement, whether it's HVAC or another topic that's relevant to you, when we return from these important messages. Welcome back. This is the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. I'm John Gordon.
I'm Dave Doval.
I'm Zeke Acosta with Acosta Heating, Cooling, and Electrical.
And I'm Scott Shelton with Charlotte Comfort Systems Heating and Air Conditioning.
And we've got lines open. We're at 704-570-1110, 704-570-1110. Give us a call. We want to talk about what's important to you. As we have our HVAC experts in the house, but we can talk about whatever may be important to you. I think we've hit off like tax credits. I'm looking down my list here. Oh, I know what I wanted to. Scott, I know you're like a big fan of mini splits, right? The question is like, when does it make sense? And can you put a mini split in any scenario? So kind of like when and why would a mini split be something to consider? And maybe you should define a mini split first too, I guess, huh?
Okay, so mini split is ductless equipment, DC inverter, compressor. So you add a sunroom onto your house, or you enclose the back porch, or you know, you finish a small room in the attic. So something that the reason we use them the most is because the traditional equipment, they don't make it small enough to satisfy the requirements of a small space. Of course, they're extremely efficient. Very quiet. They used to be cost effective like everything, but that's changed with, never mind, wrong story. Well, they're great equipment, and we probably put I don't know, 5 or 6 a month in, almost all Mitsubishi. The only negatives to them is there's no backup resistance heat, and they, you know, they tell us that it'll cool all the way down to 4 degrees below, or heat below all the way down to 4 degrees below zero. Well, I guess heat is a relative term because as the temperature falls, it may be able to produce heat, but probably not enough to
make
you comfortable.
Got it.
That's the only negative. But there, it's a great product and vein of equipment and business for us. What about you, Zeke?
Yeah, I mean, it's very good for, like you were saying, you know, a bonus room or maybe in finishing up your basement and put a unit in for that.
Mm-hmm. Garage,
they've
shop.
They've got garage, and you know, they're great. I mean, they're good, and they, you know, because of the variable speed capacity of the compressor, it does heat down to, you know, pretty cool temperatures. So it does. They do a very good job. We install quite a few of them.
So
you know, even supplementing cooling, like in you see it a good bit now in like restaurants, just adding a mini split just to supplement the cooling in that area.
To take some of the edge
computer
off,
rooms, one way or the other. Elevator yeah. equipment rooms in buildings, wine rooms. I mean, it's
a lot of uses.
All right. We got Dale on the phone. Let's get Dale. Dale, good morning. You're on the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. How are you?
Good morning. I have a dormer window where it appears to be made of a fiberglass or plastic surround. And birds have pecked holes in it, and they're trying to nest into it.
Yeah.
What I don't know is how can I patch over a hole in fiberglass?
With either a fiberglass body filler or a Bondo, either one will work.
It's hollow inside there. I don't really know how to.
So what you'd want to do is get yourself some type of a patch that you can put it on the inside of where it's hollow and glue it. So you have to figure out how to hold it. You can use a piece of hardware cloth or, you know, something you could fold up or just even a small stick. And what you would do is put some fast drying glue. So if you took like a wide, like a tongue depressor, you could
paint pedal.
Yeah, it's anything like that you could hold on to, put a dab of glue on the top and the bottom, get it in the hole, slide it back down, and then hold it in place. If that makes sense, let that glue dry, and then that'll give you a backer for your Bondo or your fiberglass filler. I mean, you can also put mesh over top of it. It won't be flat. It'll be raised up. But if it's up on a dormer, once you paint it, nobody's ever going to see it anyway.
Okay. Thank you for the help. Appreciate it.
Okay.
Thanks for the call, Dale. Appreciate you. All right.
His biggest issue is it's up on a dormer.
Yeah.
That's
the worst place
and,
to work.
Far enough away though. He could use just the mesh and sand it down and probably be
I think so too. I think get away with that. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And then hopefully the windows fold in.
Pull a patch from the outside, let it dry, spray. What's the flex seal it and
yeah. Yeah. Well, you have kidding. To paint it because unfortunately the fillers are not the same color as the window, so it'll have to be painted. Beauty of it is it's up high enough and out of the way you really won't ever see it.
But the biggest problem you see in dormers is that they didn't caulk the trim or they didn't flash it right when they finished it.
Yeah, they tend to be neglected and from start to finish. So they don't usually get a lot of attention. Not my favorite thing, that's for sure.
Totally get it. All right, we're close to taking our last break here, so we'll go ahead and do it, folks. This is the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. You can call us at 704-570-1110. We'll sneak you into the last segment when we return from these important messages. Welcome back. This is the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. I'm John Gordon.
I'm Dave Doval.
I'm Scott Shelton with Charlotte Comfort Systems.
And I'm Zeke Acosta with Acosta Heating, Cooling, and Electric.
All right, we're in the lightning round, guys. Anything last-minute stuff you want to make sure we talk to or speak about?
If you've ever thought about buying a new heating or cooling system, don't delay. I mean, honestly, the equipment's gone up 60% in the last 3 years, and it's not turning around. So it's just, if your equipment is more than 15 years old or you've had problems with it, just take a look, because it's not going to get any cheaper.
Make the move. It's not going to go down. Got it. Hey, making the move reminds me of one other question I wanted to ask you guys, and it was a question about noise from a HVAC unit, not like bad malfunctioning noise, but they wanted to move their outside units to a different place because they were right by a deck area where you couldn't hear yourself talk, or it was just background noise that they didn't want to have. Are there limits to what you can do moving those things?
Yeah, of course. And most of them are to the property line. So they build these subdivisions now where the houses are packed in so close that the AC units are almost always on the back of the house.
Yeah.
And if that's where your patio or porch is and you want to move the unit around to the side of the house, well, then now you could be dumping that noise on your neighbor's master bedroom or you know.
Mm-hmm.
So.
And then there's restraints, too, because you can only go so far with the
refrigerant lines. I think that was kind of my question. Yeah, you just can't add 100 feet of charged line, right?
I mean,
you can, but...
You have to compensate for, by the size. And you have to, when you move it, it's just, when you move it around the corner, and the electrical also has to be moved, because you have to disconnect within sight.
If the house is on a slab.
In a slab, then you've got problems,
In most cases, it's better if your house is 15 or less years old and it still has the equipment that the builder put in. The we've got units now that you could sit 5 foot away from them and not even
barely
know that
hear.
It's there.
Yeah, I can hardly hear mine. And
I have two of them also.
Just the air
super
coming
quiet.
Out of the top of the units, all you hear.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, my main unit is right outside my office, which is one of the bedrooms, but it is. I've never heard it.
You don't hear them. Yeah.
Okay. All right. So that might take us back to the comment that you made right before I asked that question, Scott, that if your unit is 10 or 15 years old and noisy, don't move it, replace it, because it'll be the least expensive thing you can do.
In some cases, moving it is cost prohibitive.
Yeah. It can get pretty expensive.
Right.
Yeah. I said, but it's just 5 feet around the corner. Yeah.
Well, let's talk a little bit too. And this is because we're coming up on air conditioning season quicker, because it's 85. It's supposed to be 85 here next week. But
yeah.
Let's talk about condensation lines a little bit, about where they should go and why they need to be visible, right? I mean, you need to be able to see water dripping out of them?
The overflow. Drain pan, if the unit's in the attic, the overflow drain pan has to be at a conspicuous location. In other words, you can see it somewhere.
Right.
And people can, sort of don't pay attention to it. But if it's coming out of that drain pan, I mean, there's the main line is already clogged up. So you need to take
that's your backup.
That's your backup drain.
But the regular condensation line that is constantly has water dripping out of it, or should,
it's got to go to daylight.
Used,
so
it needs to go to daylight, correct?
When your new system was installed, when your house was built, they terminated it right against the foundation, right outside, right? Until it passed inspection. And then you probably ran it over and put it in the French drain that goes out to
the
curb,
I left
right?
the daylight so you could still see it, but when I ran my downspout drains by, I put a sanitary T and I went back and 90'd up and dropped underneath them. So I could still see the water dripping, but it's into a 3-inch pipe.
Yeah. You have a high efficiency furnace.
I do.
And it creates condensation.
It's exactly.
And when it got down to like 5 degrees right around the Christmas time, that drain froze. Or did it not?
Did not.
Well, you're lucky, because we had probably 200 people that their drain did freeze.
Mm-hmm.
So I would just terminate it inside that French drain so that where the water comes out is not
exposed
by the outdoor, exposed air temperature.
Okay. And that makes sense. And that's what I was wondering, what is the code for that?
So. For it to pass inspection, it has to be dumping outside into daylight.
Okay.
After it's passed inspection, you can do whatever you want with it.
You can run it so that you can. Okay. That was the question. And I think maybe the reason ours didn't freeze or we didn't have as big a problem is, one, it's the south side of the house. Everything warms up back there, probably
morning
retained
sun.
Heat. Yeah, you get a little morning sun. And then probably just heat that is radiating from the crawl space or the house kept it. And it's kind of camouflaged back there where it is, so it's pretty well protected. But it did not freeze as far as I know. So, which is good.
Yeah. Very
because
good.
Because my spigots, I had a couple spigots that froze, but I didn't know it until I went to use them. But guess what? They had a hose connected to them, which trapped water, and so their quarter turned, so they didn't leak inside the house or anything, but when you turn the water on, if you have a restrictor on the other end of the hose, i.e. a handle with a trigger, the water's captured in the hose, and it was spraying out of the side of the spigots, and I thought, okay, I know what I did. I left the hoses connected.
That's on our list. That's on our list of stuff to look at when it's wintertime.
Yeah, yeah, of all people.
And you're talking about, you know, being 80 plus degrees, you know. We normally don't start our maintenances for cooling until March. I was surprised at how many people are calling already and have scheduled theirs and have had their maintenance for the spring already done.
Right.
Wow.
Right. Well, and Zeke, we talked about this last year about going too early because one of the things that happens is that coil gets clogged up. It can get clogged up with cottonwood and pollen. So you want to make sure you keep an eye on it, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So even if you get it done earlier, the cottonwood is still flowing. It's flying around till May out there.
You can hose it off.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Just
blow it out.
Just tell people to be careful, but I was amazed at how much was on one of our mini splits. So it was a lot. It was coated.
Okay. You can. That brings up a good point, though. I mean, once you get everything cleaned out, you can still get a blower or a vacuum, or if you were like really industrious, you could lift the whole, like most of those have sides that open up and stuff also, don't they?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you can clean that stuff out yourself.
Yeah, you can't even see the coils on my Linux.
Take three screws out, and that whole panel just hinges and swings out.
And then it's access. Blow it out, vacuum it out, whatever you need to do. All right. Let's see. We're about 2 minutes out. Anything else? Get your maintenance scheduled. My guy's coming out the 28th. What else?
Go outside. Enjoy the weather.
Today it's chilly.
Nah, it's beautiful. It's going to be 60 today.
Is it really?
Yeah.
I'm locked down here in my office. I went upstairs to get some coffee and I could see that the sun was out, but I didn't know how cold it was. So it's going to be 60. All right, we'll take it.
Yeah. Wouldn't that what you say every year? I guarantee you there's going to be at least one
day 70 degree day
in February.
In February.
There has been for all the years I've known you. That's
yep. It was a bet that I made a long time ago.
I can remember twice in my lifetime that it snowed on April 1st.
Yeah.
Here in Charlotte.
So, well, we're not out of winter yet. So.
No, we're going to get a snap. In fact, I don't know about there. We had a couple of azaleas pop a little bloom, and then we had these Japanese, not sure what they're called, that are really pretty, and they came full on, and now they just got, you know, frozen last night.
Our plants are confused, like the rest of us.
Yeah. It's like they don't know where they don't know what's going on. All right. Well, that's it. I'm checking my list because I keep finding things that I didn't catch up with you guys on. All right. Well, Zeke and Scott, maybe last thing because you guys never do it, and we appreciate you. But maybe just share some contact information or website information so folks who are listening can get the advice in person.
Well, for us, website is just acostainc.com, and our main number is, 704-527-1889.
Is that I-N-K?
I-N-C.
Oh, all right. For us, it's charlottecomfortsystems.com. or 704-366-1661.
Okay.
Thanks,
all right.
John.
What's your number, John?
I can't even remember. It's been so long. All right. We're going to take it. We're going to move. It's been awesome 2 hours. Zeke and Scott, always appreciate you guys being with us and taking good care of us, sharing good information. David and I always like to remind you that we think that the most important kind of home improvement you can make is the one that makes your home a happier place to live in. As you work on everything else this week, don't forget to work on that. And we'll see you next week when we return to the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave.